Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
As most of you know, we are now in 2 Corinthians. And after having examined the salutation, which is quite normal and customary in verses 1 and 2, we have moved into the first subject which is addressed in this epistle, and it turns out to be the topic of suffering. How to understand suffering, how to receive the help and consolation that we need and desire during times of suffering. And we find several things about how God comforts people in the midst of their suffering in verses 3 through 7. And then we learn something about deliverance from suffering in verses 8 through 11. But the first part, comfort and suffering, we have begun but have not completed. That's where we are on the broadcast today. It begins in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those which are in any trouble by the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. So what have we learned so far? I just read verses 3 through 5. And what have we learned so far in these three verses? We've learned, first of all, the source of comfort, which is God Himself, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation. God is the God of comfort. Secondly, we have learned the reason for comfort. In verse 4, He comforts us in our tribulation in order that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble by the comfort, or with the comfort, with which we ourselves are comforted of God. God comforts us in our tribulation, not primarily so that we can receive personal comfort, but rather to equip us to better minister to others. It is how God grows us, equips us, and gives us contact with others who are suffering. In other words, one of the reasons why Christians suffer is so that we can understand and empathize with others who are suffering. We don't often think of it that way. Why is this coming upon me? Why am I suffering in this way? Well, there could be a number of reasons, and you'll have to study the Scriptures carefully to come up with several other reasons, but one is right before us here in this text. God allows us to suffer so that as we gain help from Him in our suffering, we can then minister to others who suffer, and we can become channels of God's ministry to them. But I pause to welcome you to this Friday, August 26 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and thank you for remembering our need for financial help to continue this ministry on the station. Now we come to the third item, which is the measure of comfort. How much comfort do we receive from God? The source of comfort is God, verse 3. The reason for comfort is so that we will be able to comfort others, verse 4. But now the measure of comfort, verse 5. How much comfort do we receive from God? And the answer, I'll read the verse in a moment, but the answer is, as much as is needed to address the degree of suffering. How much comfort do we receive from God? How much suffering have we endured? And we receive comfort in the measure of our suffering. And that's the gist of what verse 5 is saying. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. As our suffering increases, it abounds, so our consolation also increases, it abounds. Are you familiar with that wonderful hymn that says, He gives more grace as the burdens grow greater? He sends more strength as the labors increase? To added afflictions, he adds his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limits, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. It's a wonderful song, a wonderful message, a wonderful truth, and that's what's found here in this section. The measure of comfort depends upon how much is needed, and God knows how much is needed, and God supplies as much as is needed, increasing the supply of comfort to match the amount of suffering. Which brings us then, number 5, to the community of comfort. The source of comfort is God. The reason for comfort is that we might minister to others. The measure of comfort is the measure of our suffering. The community of comfort, verse 6. Now, if we are afflicted, Paul says, speaking about himself and his missionary companions, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or, if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now, what is Paul getting at here? He's talking about the community of the saints and how we are joined together both in our suffering and in our comfort. He's saying, in essence, something like this. If you are afflicted, dear Corinthian believers, remember, it is for your good. All things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are the called according to His purpose. All things. Boy, we need to be reminded of that regularly, don't we? So if we are afflicted, it is, or if you are afflicted, Paul is saying to the Corinthians, it is for your good. If you are comforted of God, which of course you are, if you are a Christian and you are afflicted, that is for your good. Afflictions are shared with the body of Christ, and comfort is shared with the body of Christ. He's talking about the community of comfort, which is, of course, the community of believers, which is our relationship with other believers, which is our activity within a local body of believers, a local church, and that's the community of comfort. Some Christians are rather poverty-stricken in their ability to receive comfort from God because they are rather unconnected to the body of believers. I don't think any true Christian is totally abandoned. We all receive comfort and help from God, but one of the primary means which God uses to minister comfort, help, strength, encouragement, direction, all of the things we need in times of suffering, one of the primary tools that God uses to minister His comfort to us is the fellowship of believers. We had said that earlier. We talked about that in connection with verse 4. How does God comfort us? Number 1, through prayer. Number 2, through the Word. Number 3, through the fellowship of the saints. And now we're coming back to that concept of the community of comfort in verse 6. God uses the fellowship of the saints to minister comfort to individual believers. Do you have that resource? Or are you a maverick Christian which has no particular connection? Are you a floating Christian who floats from one body to another but never really sinks down any roots, never really establishes meaningful relationships, never really becomes committed to any particular body of believers, never really becomes accountable to any particular body of believers, then you are most poverty-stricken in some of the spiritual resources which God has designed for his people so that they might thrive, so that they might be spiritually healthy. You are in a place of spiritual weakness because you are not connected to the fellowship of the saints. But that brings us, number five, to assurance of comfort, verse 7. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. I read it again, verse 7. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will be partakers of the consolation. We learn here that suffering for Christ is actually an evidence of salvation. Unbelievers don't suffer for Christ, don't suffer for Christ's sake. Only believers do. It is an evidence of salvation, and for those who suffer for Christ, there's the promise of consolation. That promise goes to all believers. He who suffers for Christ will be comforted by Christ. What a wonderful promise. Now, what are some of the ways that we may suffer for Christ? Well, the most obvious one is persecution. Because of our identity with Christ, because of our identity as Christians, we will suffer persecution. Christ promised us that. It's not we might, it is that we will. The only question is not whether we will, the question is how severely will we? Will it be relatively mild? Will it be severe? Now, we really have difficulty answering that question except when we learn about the suffering of God's people in other parts of the world and realize how severe the suffering of some of God's people is, it makes us here in America realize that no matter how greatly we may suffer, it's pretty mild compared to how greatly some of God's children suffer in other parts of the world. And that kind of severe suffering may come to our country. It sure looks like it's coming this direction from time to time. It sure looks that way. We don't know what God has in store for the United States of America, but this is what we know, that he who suffers for Christ will be comforted by Christ, and those who suffer persecution because of their identity with Christ are going to be strengthened, comforted, enabled by the Christ for whom they are suffering. There are principal decisions that Christians make because we endeavor to please Christ. We refuse to lie when many times we are expected to on our job. We refuse to lie, cheat, steal, misrepresent. We refuse to participate in sinful entertainment, dirty jokes, attending strip clubs, and so forth. And these things make us stand out, and they make us disliked and hated by people who do these things and desire to do these things and expect us to do these things. And when we don't do things, it rebukes and convicts them, and we generally suffer persecution. Well, we'll have to come back to this on Monday. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.